Grace to you and peace from God who makes and creates all things and gathers all things to God's self. Amen. Over the last few weeks, I've been spending a lot of time studying Revelations. Not on purpose so much, because I've led many, many classes in Revelations over the years, and about, 8 years ago, swore I'd never teach another one. But I wanted to get ready for a class that we're doing midweek about Revelations. So I've been reading several different volumes, and was finding myself increasingly disturbed. Because more than anything, we're creating in this day and age a vision of Christianity that is popular, which depends on the signs of God in the world. Now, I think all of Christianity is based on that. We look for God's presence in everything. But what they're doing these days is spending a remarkable amount of time looking at what the signs are that the end time is coming. Every war, every conflict, every economic downturn, every economic upturn, every time someone belches in Israel, Jesus is coming again. Our faith is being reduced to nonsense. Those are strong words, but I think it's about time that we begin as faithful Christians to bring a different message. This particular gospel is a very popular lesson because it has everything in it that we want. It has Jesus surrounded by the crowds following the feeding of the 5,000. They're all following around looking for signs and promises and symbols. They too were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And here is Jesus with healings and miracles, water turned to wine, people walking blind or healed, and people can't get enough. And they're following in these great crowds. So much so that he can't even freely move. They want more. A man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, wants more, but in a kind of desperate way that any father whose daughter is dying would seek whatever he could find. And he goes to Jesus and he says, "Please come and heal my daughter." Can you imagine with these crowds of hundreds and thousands of people, how many times Jesus heard that? How many times people must have come to say, "Hey, I know you can heal the blind. My father's blind. Come and heal him." If Jesus had responded to every single one of them, he'd still be getting through the first crowd 2,000 years later. But he hears Jairus, and he begins to go to heal her. As he's on his way, something interesting happens. There was a time when this little interlude story was actually cut out of the pericope. It's too bad, because the stories are connected. In the story, Jesus is walking along, and a woman, it says, in the old RSV, it used to be with an issue of blood. Do you remember that? Those of you who, yeah. She's had her period for 20 years, if you can imagine. Yeah, the women are all going, "Oy vey." The men are going, "Huh?" Trust me. For 20 years. Now, this is not just that it's uncomfortable and unhealthy and you become anemic and all of that kind of stuff, all of the physical stuff, but it also means that for all of those years, she had been ritually unclean, unable to go to the synagogue. Any man, anyone who touched her also became unclean. So within that culture, she's a kind of pariah. Nobody wants to be near her. And as Jesus walks along, she thinks to herself, I'm one of hundreds and thousands. He's never going to pay any attention to me. There's all of these people pressing in against him. But if I just touch the edge of his robe, I'll be healed. And she does. Now again, being the RSV, everything is so nice and calm and nice. It's not so nice in the Greek. She touches him, and Jesus, and the word is, it's an angry gaze. It's the angry gaze of Jesus, the sweeping gaze of Jesus. He doesn't turn around and go, oh, who touched me? He felt the power go out of him, and he whips around and says, who touched me? And again, he says, who touched me? And if you read the text, she confesses. It isn't that she goes, oh gosh, you know, it was me. She knows what she's done is an incredible insult. Jesus is a man, and he is a rabbi. He is required. He needs to be in the temple. That's his home. And she has touched him, which means he cannot go there. The penalties, if you want to spend time looking it up in Leviticus, are not pretty. For a woman to touch a man. But Jesus loves by breaking down barriers. And he looks at her and he says, your faith has made you well. This woman who had no business, no right to touch Jesus, has a lifetime of pain brought to an end. It says in the moment that she touched him, she could feel in her body that she was well. And that's the important word. The word means more than just the physical healing of what ails her. She is made well. It's a word that encompasses the whole heart and mind and soul and body. It is to be at peace. Finally. She is no longer tormented by her body or by her shame. Jesus makes her well. He breaks down the barriers with love. Well, that would be a good enough story in itself, but it's this little parenthetical story. Do you remember what Jesus was doing on his way when we had this wonderful story of the woman with the issue of blood? What was he doing? Jairus's daughter. Oh, yeah. And so he continues on to see Jairus's daughter. And as he gets there, everyone is weeping. Jesus failed. He took this little side trip, hung out with the lady with the issue of blood, and traded one life for another. He's too late. An old woman for a young girl. And as they arrive, the people who are there saying, why are you bothering the master? She's dead. It's done. And Jesus says, hold your horses. We're not done yet. He says, what are you talking about? The child is not dead. The child is just sleeping. And this is one of the only places in Scripture that I've been able to find where people laugh at Jesus. You would miss it very easily. I did for years. It says, and they laughed. What an idiot. What a fool. What's he talking about? You can't beat death. Right? The two things you can't get past are death and taxes. I found out when my mom died, that's not true. You can beat the taxes when you die. She's dead. But then Jesus says those words, Talitha, come. Talitha, cum. Get up, little girl. And once again, Jesus breaks down barriers with love. The barrier of death is undone. And the child lives. The problem with the story is we look at that miracle, and in today's view of Christianity, I don't know about you, but I'm left with the question, why that child, but not another? Why is one healed and another left to die? Why this one and not that one? When we did our work with the wounded warriors, one of the things we discovered time and time again is the question, why did my friend die who was 2 feet from me? And I lived. What kind of capricious God, what kind of capricious Savior does that? Well, as long as we're hooked on road signs and miracles and following Jesus for what Jesus does, then we will be left with those questions. But at the core of those two stories is the reality that Jesus breaks down barriers with love. We cannot do away with all of the racism within Christianity, right? People say, you Christians, you're such hypocrites. Yeah, we are. We don't live up to our own standards. We sure don't live up to the standards of Jesus. But it isn't the core of who we are. You Christians, you build big buildings and then tell us all to feed the hungry. You're right. You're right. We do. The point of the whole thing is that our barriers are broken down by Christ's love. It's only in living in the love of Christ to have the kind of faith that the woman who was willing to just touch the robe of Jesus. No talking in tongues, no signing of contracts, you know, no new members class for 4 weeks, or in our case, 6. No check of her doctrine. She just touched the hem of his robe and was healed. And that barrier was broken. The barrier of our own hurt and our own reticence to love is broken by that same Jesus. We know who we are, not because we can find ourselves with signs or wonders. We know who we are not because we love Jesus and have the appropriate bumper stickers to prove it, but because Jesus says to each of us and to our community and to the world, Talitha cum. And the barrier between life and death and between each other is broken down in love. Talitha cum. Get up, little one. You are healed. Amen.